know that things don't happen in our life without you having your fingerprint on them. And Father, we can trust. In the middle of our life, in the middle of our craziness, that you're going to cause all this to work together for the good of those who love you and those who are called according to your purpose. Father, I pray this morning that we might understand how that works a little bit better. We might understand, Lord, how that you transform us. We might understand how that you change us. Lord, we might understand how that reading our Bible and going to church and praying are important, are valid, are not a waste of our time. Father, I pray that you teach us. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get started with the message, I was going to share this, and I just lapsed. I want to just remind or let the whole congregation know about what's going on with Dick and Bonnie's granddaughter's child. They have, and I don't know all the specific names and details. Is it okay? It's okay to share. But they have a 3-year-old daughter. Her name is Cora. She's the cutest thing you've ever seen in your life. She has a problem with some blood vessels in the back of her neck. I don't understand all that's going on there, but she has to have surgery. The problem has caused her to decline in her motor skills, in just her abilities to perform daily life things like eating and things of that nature. And it's been difficult for Cora's mother. Her name is Bethany Jennings. I don't have the husband's name at this. Christopher. For Christopher and Bethany, it's been very difficult, as you can imagine, for them. They have the best neurosurgeon that is in that area or is around or is in the United States. I heard that. And they're going to be doing surgery on Monday. So they would appreciate your prayers. Would appreciate just you lifting them up. We'll pray for them here in a second for that. But just let you know that they would appreciate that. I did hear they have a Facebook page. I don't really know how to get a hold of that. Maybe somebody can pick it up. But I'm going to read you later in the message some of the thoughts she has. What a beautiful example of someone that sees God's glory in the middle of a very, very troubling and difficult time in their life. The reality is that this surgery is very aggressive, and in the percentages aren't real high. So we need to lift them up. So at this point, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to heal this little girl, and if that's not His will, for His glory to be obvious. Father, we do lift up Bethany and Christopher and their families respectfully, and little Cora. Father, we all want so much different for her than what she has. But as her mother wrote in a beautiful letter, that all they want is your will to be done. They want you to be glorified. And Father, that is what we want. We ask that you're glorified in this. But Lord, we ask that you heal this little girl. We know, Lord, that you're capable of healing her. We know, Lord, you can heal her instantly. We know you can heal her through the hands of the doctor, however you choose. We know that is possible. But Lord, if that is not your will, if you choose to be glorified in another way, we pray, Lord, that you might allow that beautiful family to see your glory. And I pray, Lord, that the testimony of what you're doing in their life might ring loud and true. Father, I just pray for the hearts of those involved and that your glory will be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Well, this morning we'll be finishing up a little two-part series that we started last week. Why read your Bible? Why pray? Why go to church? I think that's a valid question. I honestly do. I remember being 15 years old, 14, 15 years old, racing motocross on Sundays, and my mom making me go to church. Well, I hated it. I'll be honest with you. I hated going to church. I did not want to go to church. My brother, who was 16, he got to go race. Why didn't I get to go? Because mom said at 16, you can make the choice. And I was 15. Well, I kicked and screamed and did all the things little boys do, and I ended up getting my way. Wasn't a good decision, but I didn't know. I was 15. Later on in life, I went to a camp, a Christian camp. And I remember being at that Christian camp, having this mountaintop type of experience. People say you can't have mountaintop experiences here on earth or here down off the mountain. But I beg to differ. You can. But the problem is that when I was up there on this mountain and I had this mountaintop experience, I realized what I wanted. I wanted Christ. I wanted to have Him like that every day. But then when I left, I left all of the conditions that helped me have the mountaintop experience. The mountain had nothing to do with it. It was the fact that I wasn't around my non-Christian friends. It's the fact that I wasn't around my secular radio and secular TV. The fact that I was around Christian people that were talking about God all the time. I was around the Bible and they were teaching it all the time. And I had times of prayer. And all of these things changed me from the inside out. And I wanted that. But when I left, I didn't have that anymore. I didn't know. So I got back in the same routines. Life was frustrating again. I didn't want to read my Bible. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to do all the things I wanted to do up there. I didn't want to do those down here. And I struggled for all these years trying to figure out why. Well, this morning, that's why this message is so important to me, because it means so much to me. Why we read our Bible, why we pray, why we go to church, these type of things, is because it's the only place we can see the glory of God. It's the only place we can see the glory of God. And the glory of God is like looking into a camera, or like a camera opening up the aperture of a camera, and that aperture shining in the light of that image, marrying it onto that camera. Or like a solar panel that is up on the top of your roof and the sun is shining down on that solar panel and that sun powers the panel. Same is for us. We need the image of God. We need Christ. We need His presence to transform, to empower us. And the way that we do that is by beholding the glory of the Lord. So we talked about that in length last week. So I'm going to bring out just kind of the main topics of what those were, and then we're going to go in and talk about seven things that we do to help us behold the glory of God. So we're going to look at what it means to behold the glory of God, just in review. And then we're going to go into these seven things. Sorry they're so long. There's going to be a lot of those. I'm going to be very brief. But there's far more than I can cover this morning. I'm just going to hit the basics, and hopefully that will encourage you in that. Well, last week we looked at 5 points. I just wanted to throw those in real quickly. 5 things that we saw last week was that sanctification is not something we can do on our own. Look, we can't get better on our own. I know that's the way we try, and all of us do. You look at yourself, oh, I do that, and it feels so bad. So does everyone else in this room. We all try it, but the point is we can't do it. And that's the realization. I can't change myself. I cannot make myself better. The second point that we saw that sanctification is more than changing our actions. Okay, I can't change myself. Because sanctification really isn't changing my actions. The Pharisees tried that, didn't they? The Pharisees tried to clean up the outside of their life, and God looked at them and said, your heart is wretched. It's terrible. Changing the outside of our life doesn't help, because we're still left with this terrible heart. And then we looked and understood that sanctification is an internal change of the heart. It's an internal change of the heart. Well, the problem is, what's the problem? I can't change my heart. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. It's my nature. I can't change it. We looked at last week is, however, God can morph us. God can transform us into a different image. And that is what we're looking for, God's transformation or morphing of us. And the fourth point was that sanctification, that morphing, is empowered by grace. It's empowered by grace. We talked about Romans 12:2. We've talked about that a lot. That do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, right? Well, we want that, right? We can't change the outside. You know, there's no way we can do that. So our heart needs to be transformed. We want that. We want to be transformed. How do you do it? Well, it's a passive imperative. And what that means, and we've talked about this, is that means someone, we have to allow someone else to do this to us. So we're not transforming ourselves, but we are allowing Him to do that, right? So that's grace. Grace is something we have to allow. God gives us the power to change, but it's something we have to allow. And then we went to the dynamics of sanctification, and that was found in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He's talking about beholding the glory of the Lord, and that is that we have to do that. We have to behold the glory of the Lord. And that is a middle verb. It's something that we do to ourselves. So as we behold the glory of the Lord, middle imperative, passive imperative happens. We become transformed. Does that make sense? So as we behold, then God does the rest of the work. And so our job, our work on this world, our life that we need to be doing is beholding the glory of the God, the glory of God. We need to be spending time falling in love with Him, seeing His goodness, seeing His greatness, looking at the beauty of who He is. The reason that we're doing Psalms, and Larry, I appreciate him doing that. The reason we're doing that is so that we can open up in the morning with the glory of the Lord. We can open up in the morning with God's Word, and that is God's law. And God's law is good. We just can't look to God's law to save us. God's law is something that we do, and that's how we know who God is, through His law. And we understand that, and we love Him for that, and we become more like Him. And that, as we look into the law of the Lord, as we look into who He is, it causes us inside to fall in love deeper with Him. That's where the change happens. That's where the change happens. Now, you guys know Philippians 2:13, God causes us to will and to want to do good works. You know that, right? How does He do that? By us beholding God. How does that work? Because we fall in love with Him. And the more I fall in love with God, the more I hate the sin I do. And the more I love the doing good things, or the more I love pleasing Him. So why do I do things I do? Because I love Him. Because I want to love Him. As I don't love Him perfectly now, and that's a process of growing in Christ, but nonetheless, as I grow in Christ, my love increases. And it increases by beholding Him more and more. Does that make sense? So this morning we're going to look at how do we behold God. What does that look like to behold God? We say that we need to do that all along. Okay, I need to behold God, but what does that look like? And I think someone even asked that question. I can't remember who it was. At Bible study, they did. So we're going to look at that, how to behold. That's going to be the rest of the message. Okay, before we get there, one thing I didn't cover, and I want to make sure that you are aware of this, is that there is an attitude, the right attitude behind beholding God. Well, what I am not saying that if you read your Bible, pray, and go to church, you're going to be a better that you're going to be transformed. I'm not saying that at all. Because you can read your Bible, you can pray, and you can go to church in the wrong attitude, seeking the wrong things, and nothing is going to happen. So I want to make sure that you understand what the right attitude is. I should have had this for you, but I don't. Right attitude number one is humility. Humility. I have to realize I can't do it on my own. If I think I can do it on my own, if I think I don't need Him, then I'm not beholding Him. I'm not turning to Him and soaking up the glory of who He is. I'm just intellectually understanding God. I'm just finding out, I'm just gaining more knowledge about someone. But it's not until I realize I can't do it. Oh, hey, I do have it up there. Hey, good job, Ryan. Man, how'd you do that? Hey, good job. Hey, Ryan needs to get a pat on his back every once in a while, huh? He gets the brunt. The both sound man and the PowerPoint guy gets the brunt of all of our mistakes. So as we make mistakes, they get the brunt of that. So good job. I didn't know that was on there. Okay, so beholding number one is we humbly realize we need a Savior. I mean, that's the start of it, is realize I can't do it. And then we turn to Him. We humbly realize we can't do it. Then we turn to Him. Instead of turning to ourselves, what do we normally do? Turn to ourselves. Instead of turning to ourselves, we turn to Him. And then we behold the treasures of the glory of God as much as we can. And then we're transformed again. And that's just a cycle. So I want to make sure that you understand that going into it. And then also, Titan's really not our friend today, is it? Also going into this, I want you to understand that the first time I started trying to do this, it was very awkward. I remember being at the previous house, being in Menifee, being in the backyard, praying in the morning, trying to just enjoy God. And I had no context for it. I had no verses for it. I didn't know how to do it because I'd spent all my time trying to be good. Really, honestly. I knew how to do that. I knew what those verses were, but I didn't know the verses about God's glory. I didn't know the verses about His beauty. I didn't know anything of that. I was empty. I was shallow in that area. So I want to encourage you, if you start this and you feel like, you know, it's a lot harder at first and you think there is a journey there, be patient. And you'll grow in your knowledge as you finish this. This is somewhat of a long list. It's not complete. There's a couple things that aren't in here, like worship, praise, things of that nature. These are all things that we see the glory of the God, glory of the Lord. You will have things that you see the glory of the Lord in that I didn't put in this list. And so this list could go on, but we had to make it finite so that we could get out before turkey starts at 5. That was a little humor. Come on, Clark. Give me a little laugh. Okay. First one we're going to see today is seeing the glory of God in Scripture. Seeing the glory of God in Scripture. Now, the question is, why read my Bible? Honestly, why read my Bible? I mean, it's hard work. It's a lot of effort. Why get up in the morning and read my Bible? Is it just because it makes me smarter? I need to be a smarter person. Is it because I just need to know more about God? Is it because that there's something spiritual? Just a spiritual dynamic about opening up the Bible and letting my eyes go across the pages? Is it just like obedience and like baptism? You know, baptism is not something that doesn't. Sorry, there's usually a Baptist church. Over here, there's a Baptist church. Is it obedience like baptism? Baptism is just obedience. Is it something like that? No. It's far more than that. Scripture is the only place. Think about this. Scripture is the only place God has chosen to show His glory. It's the only place. It's the medium of which, now hold back, it's the medium of which He chose to present His glory. He'd say, no, I see His glory in creation. I see His glory in other believers. I see His glory in other places. But you didn't know that until you read what? Scripture. Scripture is where God has chosen to disseminate His glory. So we go to Scripture mainly. The first place we need to go is for Scripture, because that is the most important place. That is the main place where He has chosen to disseminate His glory. So if we believe, as we do, that looking into the glory of God is going to change us, this is going to cause me to well up inside and love Him more, and therefore cause me to want to do things He has asked me to do, then I need to look into the glory of God. How do I do that? By opening up Scripture and reading it with the right attitude, looking for the glory of God. That's why we're reading in Psalms. If you want to see the glory of God, read Psalms. What a more beautiful, I mean, there is no more beautiful book in the world to see the image of God in all kinds of life situations than through the book of Psalms. And we need to read large sections. Memorizing Scripture is great. But read a chapter a day. You can read in the Old Testament, you can read the New Testament, it doesn't matter. But look for the goodness, the greatness, the beauty of God in your Scripture, in your reading, and while you're reading, look for that. Read a chapter, two chapters. It's not as hard as you might think. And as you do that every day, that's etching the image of God on your heart. Isn't that amazing? Just like a picture, a camera opens up its aperture and allows the image to be etched on the camera. As we're reading God's Word, that image is being etched into our heart. That's why we need to do that. Guys, I would encourage you. I know this seems like an obligation, and if it is, you know, think about what's going on. But I would encourage you to every day read your Bible. Why is that? Because you have to know. Because it will cause you to be the person God wants you to be. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So do you. I know you do. But more than that, I don't want to waste this life. I don't want to waste this life. And how do I keep from wasting this life? Allow myself to be transformed. It's not about being a good person. It's not about going out and evangelizing and all those things are good. It's about being transformed. When I'm transformed, those things are naturally going to happen. All the goodness that we're looking for in our life will be natural, but it is an outflow of our transformation. Does that make sense? So we read our Bible to be transformed. Second one is that of prayer. Well, praying is actually a natural byproduct of glorifying God. So as we glorify God, as we seek into, go into Scripture, and we look into who He is, and we're transformed by that, the next natural, logical thing to do is to seek a relationship with that person, right? Right? I mean, if you fall in love with a person, would you talk to them or no? Yes! Why would you talk with them? Because you love them, right? If you love a hobby, if you have a hobby you love, you never talk about it, right? No, you talk about it. Why do you talk about it? Because you love it. And when we go to God in relationship, not because we have to. We don't go to God in prayer because it's an obligation. We don't go to God in prayer because we think that's going to make our life better. We go to God in prayer because I want to know Him more. I want to see His face. Prayer is seeking the face of God. Hosea 5:15, I think we have that on the screen. Yes, Hosea 5:15 says, I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. Well, and we understand that that's how we seek God's face, by humbling ourselves. It says, in their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Seeking God's face is prayer. How do we seek God's face? In prayer, through a relationship with Him, wanting to talk to Him. I can see God's face through the Word, yes, but that's limited. I see His face more clearly through a relationship of prayer. So as I come to God and I get this transforming that happens from the love, I see who He is, that causes me to reach deeper into my relationship with Him. And reaching deeper into my relationship causes me to want to pray, whether that's being thankful, telling Him about what's going on in my life, or about supplication or petitions, all of those things. Every aspect of prayer is seeking God's face. It's me lining my will up with God's. That's what prayer is. It's me coming to You and saying, God, I have been trying to do it on my own, and I apologize for that. Forgive me for that. I now want to seek You only. And just that beholding and drawing into that relationship of wanting to know Him draws us closer. And as we pray from that perspective, He starts etching His image more into our life. It's not just through reading His Bible. It's through prayer as well. And He changes us and He etches us. He causes us to be different. we behold the glory of God through seeking His face. Number three, we're going to go through a list here. We behold the glory of God in fellowship. In fellowship. Well, in one of our Bible studies, or care groups, or however that name is, we still haven't defined that. Maybe we'll do that. We're not doing it today, are we? Maybe we'll do it in 2 weeks. I don't know. But there, the care group, the second care group that used to be the only care group that met at 2 or 2:30, now it's not. that was my humor. But in that book we're reading, or in that Bible study, we're reading a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's called Life Together. And he says this. He says, if you scorn the fellowship of brethren, listen to this. It's heavy. You reject the call. Oh, yeah, I've got that up there. Hey, Rod, you're doing good today. Look at that. Man. If you scorn the fellowship of the brethren, you reject the call of Jesus Christ, and thus your solitude can only be hurtful to yourself. Why is fellowship such a big deal? Why does Dietrich Bonhoeffer, somebody that was a German, Christian German in the middle of Hitler's regime, who was hiding himself, trying to not get killed, and who found being a found the fellowship of other Christians as imperative, why would he come out and say these things so strong to us? Because there's something important about fellowship. What is that? Here it is. In Christian fellowship, or as a Christian, if I allow God to transform me, right? And that's the question. I mean, that's not happening to me all the time. I have to choose that, right? So if I choose to allow God to transform me, if I behold Him and choose that, and then I am therefore turning into the image of whom? Christ. So therefore, potentially in this room are all types of images of Christ in this room. So those who are beholding Christ are allowing Christ to change them. So as you change, you come up and you communicate to me the image of Christ. That's why I need you. I need you in my life. Because as you are allowing God to change you, as you are allowing God to transform you, you come up and you tell me not how good you are. I don't want to hear that. Because, well, you know, nobody's good. But when you come and you tell me about how God has convicted you of some sin and changed you from going that way to going this way, I want to hear that. Not because I want to hear the stuff, but I want to hear God transforming you. I want to hear God changing you. I want to hear the power of God in your life. And that transforms me. In a little while, we're going to read part of the letter from Cora's mom. And it was transforming for me. It really was. It was beholding the glory of God in trials like I have never beheld before. You will be encouraged by it and maybe tear at the same time, but that's exactly what she's doing. She's crying because it's a difficult time, but at the same time, she has this unshakable joy that is found not in her situation. It's only found in Christ. And so for us as believers, fellowship is important because we get to share that with others. And then in turn, as you share that with me and you encourage me and you cause me to look onto the image of God, then I in turn hopefully will be transformed by what God is doing in my life, in turn help transform you. See that? That's amazing, isn't it? That's the way God has established it. So we see God's image in Scripture, the glory of God in Scripture. We see it through prayer. We also see it in Christian fellowship. Now, we're not talking about weather, but we're talking about what God is doing in your life. And when you do that, it's transforming. It's beholding the image of God. Number four. And that's why we put so much energy and effort into care groups. We believe that everyone in the church should be at a care group. Now, I understand that not everybody can. And that we understand. But you understand why we would think that. Because that's where we need to be there so that we can be encouraged by other believers. This is important, but we think that would be second. Number four, seen the glory of God increase. And so we see the glory of God in Scripture and prayer and fellowship, and now we want to see the glory of God in creation. Now, I got to be honest with you, that was the only way, the only thing I could do to see the glory of God. I didn't know how to look any other place. So I was trying to see the glory of God. You know, this one day I told you that I woke up early and I was seeking to do it. Well, the only thing I could do is see him in nature, and I'm not really a big lover of those things. Tamara, you know, she'll look at sunset and she'll say, "Oh, isn't that beautiful?" I'll say yes, but we are not meaning the same thing. You understand what I mean by that, right? I mean, yes, I enjoy it, but I do not enjoy it the way she enjoys it. So there's two different things, but for me, enjoying creation was the first way I got to behold the glory of God, and that was good for me. It was limited, but it was good. And here are a few verses. Psalm 119, this is in the King James. It says, "The heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiworks." So if you want to see the glory of God, look at the heavens, look at creation. How do we know that's the glory of God? Because that's what Scripture says. Was a great theologian, and I'm sorry, I forget his name. He was a real powerful mover and shaker kind of guy. Somebody you would know if I could remember his name. I remember that part. But he was going through Redwood National Forest, driving through there. They stopped, and he looked up at the trees, and you would think some dry theologian would, you know, pontificate some type of dry theology. And no, he starts spouting out the glory of God. He says, "Look at that. That's our beautiful, precious God." If we want to know the beauty of God, start by looking at the beauty of this creation. Because by that, we can see, we know that He is beautiful. Because only somebody beautiful can create something that is beautiful. Romans 1:19-20 says, "Because that which is known of God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Everyone. Now, we suppress the knowledge of God in our unrighteousness, unbelievers do, but nonetheless, He's saying everyone looks at nature and they see there has to be a God. And God is beautiful. And God is lovely. We see that in nature. Here's a quote by Steve DeWitt. Do we have that, Ryan? Yes. And I actually said that earlier. I didn't mean to let the cat out of the bag. But Steve DeWitt writes, "God creates beauty so that we can know what He is like." He said that much better than me. God creates beauty in creation so that we can know what He's like. If God wasn't beautiful, He couldn't create beauty. But since He is beautiful, things He creates have to be beauty as well. So we see God's glory in His beauty, in His creation. Fifthly, we see the glory of God in His sovereignty, and I've added something to that in His sovereignty, which causes us to be thankful. We see God's glory in His sovereignty and causes us to be thankful. Now, the second thing I learned in beholding the glory of God, first was nature. Second thing was His goodness. Now, you can probably remember back on some of my sermons right at the beginning, they were about the goodness of God. Do you remember that? And this is why. Because it was moving me. That was exactly what God was doing in my life, because then I could see His goodness. How could I see His goodness through, or how could I see His glory? I could see His glory through goodness. Now listen to these verses. These verses are going to make you think a little bit. James 1:17 says, "Everything good given and even in every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting of shadows." So He says, everything good given and everything perfect is from where? from above, from God, right? So when I'm cruising along and something just, you know, out of the blue happens, luckily happens to me, was that luck? Was that chance? Was that happenstance? No, that was God's goodness. So at that point, I was able to really start seeing God's goodness seeing God's glory by just looking at the good things happening to us. And it's amazing, and that's what's so amazing about that letter that Cora's mom wrote, is that she was able to see incredible good things, even to which I'm not going to be able to read this morning, but I was just handed another letter, and she says she felt unworthy to receive the goodness of God that's coming through this situation. Now that's only a God-given vantage point. That's not something that's natural. That's supernatural. And it's because we see that God is good. And in seeing God is good, we see that He is sovereign in all things. Romans 8:28. I love this verse as well. We can do all things through God who strengthens us. We can do all things through God. We know that all things. There we go. We know that all things work together through God for those who love Him or God according to His purposes. God is the one that takes all the trials in our lives, the messed up stuff. Somebody could sit there and wish evil on your life. They could try to burn down your house, torch your car. You'd only be so lucky. Try to do evil things. You'll talk bad about you, do all kinds of evil things to you, and in that, as evil as it might have been, listen to this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good. He'll take everyone's evil, all the terrible things of life, God supernaturally, within His sovereignty, works that towards His good. And that is our hope, that is our promise, and that is our thanksgiving. We're having Thanksgiving. We're celebrating that this evening. And that is our hope in God, in what He has done for us. We give thanks. The pilgrims, as they crossed over and they received this land, and God was doing all that He did, He had thanksgiving, or they had thanksgiving, because they wanted to tell God thank you. That's the reason they had it. They wanted to praise Him and give Him thanks for all the goodness that's in their lives. Now, were they going through terrible, hard, difficult times that people died and lost? Absolutely. But in the midst of their terrible time, they were able to see God's goodness and His praise and His glory through His sovereignty and give Him thanks. That is the glory of God. Beholding God's goodness in sovereignty, is another way of beholding the glory of the Lord. Only two left. Almost there. Bummer. The next, the last one that we're going to do this morning, I said there's more than this. This is just as much as we can do in one morning, is seeing God in our trials. Seeing God in our trials. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For momentary light afflictions is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." What's he saying? For our momentary light afflictions. Now, what did he mean by momentary light afflictions? Well, that was death. That was near-death experiences. That was starvation. That was all the stuff that Paul was going through. He called it momentary light afflictions. Why did he do that? Because he saw them in light of the glory of God. And when he saw them in light of the glory of God, it all changed. Now, if we see our afflictions in light of my will, we get mad and angry, right? Look, I want people to be nice to me. They're not. I'm going to get angry. I want people to honor me and respect me. They don't. I get angry. I want to have things my way. It's not. I get angry. I want my family to live forever. They don't. So now I'm angry. I want myself to live forever. Well, you can't. So you get angry. And that's what we want because we think it's about us. And as we're looking into ourselves, that's why we get angry. That's why we get mad. But when we're able to turn our eyes away from ourselves and behold the glory of God, everything changes. Our perspective changes. And those things become smaller. I am not saying at all the pain goes away. The pain doesn't go away. But a hope is introduced into the middle of that pain that causes it to be bearable. Something that you can bear up under. Something that will heal in time, not totally go away, but heal. Because you're able to see that there's a purpose, there's a plan. You see that God is good. I'm trying to explain something that someone has written a much better job explaining. At this point, I'm going to read a letter from Bethany Jennings, who is Dick and Bonnie's granddaughter and Cora's mother. And this is a letter that Bonnie wrote read at our Bible study from the mother. This is hard news. Christopher says it feels very surreal. I feel like God graciously prepared me for this over the past couple weeks. So while I am sad, I am also very insanely calm. The work of the Holy Spirit, I'm sure. We do not trust in the hands of the best neurosurgeon that the nation can provide, but rather in the one who made Karina, Cora as we know her, made that surgeon, gives us peace, and perfectly crafted this entire situation to bring Him glory and to bring us blessing. Now you're going to see the hope of her glory here. He does not always bless how we expect. With our finite human ideas of the future, we would not choose this for Cora, for us, or for the family. But we trust His all-wise knowledge that this road He gave us to walk is the best one. You see how her perspective is just changing? It's changed. You know, she's not, the sadness has not gone away, and she goes off in the letter and tells us more about her life. It's crazy. It's not gone away, but her hope is just swelling up inside. Our foundation, our foundation and hope is not in having a happy, healthy daughter. But rather on the surpassing joy of Christ and His promises, which cannot be taken from us by any earthly circumstance. For our momentary light afflictions is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. There's not anything momentary or light in that situation. But the perspective changes when we behold the glory of God. The perspective changes. That was beautiful, wasn't it? It was gorgeous. And know, Dick and Bonnie, that we are praying for y'all, and we lift you all up as well as the family. Something she said in there is, we don't understand, and I'm paraphrasing. Go ahead, fix your eyes, I understand. We don't understand the will of God. We don't understand God's will, but we want His will. And so therefore, by beholding Him, by enjoying Him, we keep that perspective so we can have that joy in the midst of His will and not necessarily ours. Lastly, and see this morning, seeing the glory of the Lord found in church. Seeing the glory of the Lord found in church. I want you to understand, I don't push going to church because I'm a pastor. And I've said this a lot, but I couldn't be more sincere about anything in my life. I'm a pastor because I believe in church. I do. I believe in the church. All these things that we've just talked about are encapsulated in the church. That's where you find all of them. Can I go and pray? Can I go and read my Bible somewhere else? Yes. Can I go and pray somewhere else? Yes. Can I have Christian fellowship somewhere else? Yes. Can I have all these things somewhere else? Yes, in part. But can I have those in full somewhere else? No. That's only in church. That's where God has put together all of His glory in one place so that we can behold that. I mean, the whole service is about beholding the glory of the Lord, starting at Psalms. The morning we're transitioning from that, starting to behold the glory of God. That's what we want to see. We want to see God. We want to see His mighty hand. We sing these songs, these beautiful songs, and we're talking about the glory of God and what she does. Tamara starts off at just a praise and an exaltation, moves to the cross. By the third song, you'll see every time it's at the cross, and I think it's beautiful. And then from the cross, we have this exaltation, this release of joy that the cross brings from us, and that's the fourth and fifth songs. And I believe that, I appreciate that, I enjoy it, and the whole service is about helping us see who He is and just behold His glory, and that's the best place for us. Guys, I understand that all these things that we talked about, reading our Bible, prayer, going to church, things like this, man, they seem like a noose around our neck. And they can. I understand that. But that is an old way of thinking. Change your mind. See it from a different perspective. It's not an obligation. It's a gift. A gift, and the only gift of which we can behold the glory of God and be transformed. We need these things. We don't have these things in our lives, we are not going to be transformed. I want to make sure that, in closing, that you understand, look, it's not just reading your Bible, it's not just praying, it's not just going to church that makes a difference. It's beholding the glory of God, turning to Him. That's what makes a difference. And in turning to God, what we need to do, number one, is realize I can't do it on my own. I can't do anything on my own. There's nothing in me that is good. Romans 7 says that is in the flesh. There's nothing in me. I need Christ. Reading our Bible, praying, going to church, fellowship, looking at the glory of God, trials, all of these things help remind us of those very important principles that I can't do it on my own. When you fail, there is something good to be found in your failures. And what is that? That I can't do it on my own and I need Christ. I'm not saying failures are good. I'm saying there's something good that can be learned from that. And that is that I can't do it on my own. And I need Christ. And how do we find Him? Through these means of grace that we just talked about. Read your Bible. Don't just open it up on Sunday morning and put it and let it, you know, collect dust. I know it's hard. I know there's a discipline. I know that. But pick it up every morning. Every morning, try to go through a daily reading of Scripture, reading a plan or something, reading through the Bible, or just take a few verses or a few chapters and read them. And then get to prayer. You know, talk to God. Get face to face with Him. Be around other Christians. Be reminded of His greatness in creation. Look at that. See His greatness. Look at God's goodness in His sovereignty, in the way He provides things. Allow trials to turn us back to Him as we need Him and see His greatness. And then let all that culminate in church. I think this is a great church. I believe that. A year ago, I wouldn't say it in those words. I think in this church, we've figured out and we've gotten to the point where we understand that we need Christ on a daily basis. We're not good. And we understand that we need to turn to Him. And those are things I think are part of our vocabulary now. And I appreciate that. Now, for you and for me as well, we need to learn how to turn to Christ. And we turn to Christ found in those 7 points that we looked at this morning, the means of grace, and also many more that we can add as well. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before You this morning, Lord, I thank You for the way that You transform us. Lord, that You transform us by us beholding Your glory. Lord, by allowing the light to shine into the solar panel and charge the house. Father, allowing the image to be imprinted onto the camera through opening up the aperture. Lord, as we behold You, Your glory, You transform us into Your image. Father, help us. Help us understand how to do that. As we give You praise, as we give You thanksgiving for all that You've done for this church, all that You've done for this nation. And Lord, we give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All year round. What a great way to